Good evening and welcome to today's meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California. I am Paul Clark, a member of the club's Asia-Pacific Forum and your chair for tonight's program, which is entitled Afghanistan's Challenge, a View from Ghazni Province. We all know that in 2001, the U.S. and Afghanistan began upon a new and very complex relationship for a myriad of reasons. A lot of Americans feel uneasy with this relationship. We're eager to help countries who are ambitious about having representative government. We're ambivalent about the use of force. And we're also ambivalent and uneasy about the people we partner with. And that's why the State Department and the Asia Foundation are sponsoring this delegation to the U.S. in part, is to give a chance for some of these folks who are working these issues in Afghanistan, in the province of Ghazni, which is one of the more in troubled provinces in the country. So we have a delegation. We have three speakers. And I'll introduce very briefly who they are and their titles, and I won't give you much biographic information because I want you to have a chance to quiz them. And the way we do the quizzing is through these cards. So as we go through the program, if you wouldn't mind filling out these cards and passing it to our volunteers, we'll ask the questions at the end. The delegation is in the barrier, again, under auspices of the U.S. Embassy in Kabul, that's the State Department, and the Asia Foundation, and they're on a cultural mission to highlight the relationship between Hayward, California, and Ghazni City, which are sister cities, based upon the ambitions of members of our local community and communities in Afghanistan to develop a relationship. So our three speakers in order of presentation will be the governor of Ghazni province, Musa Khan, who will discuss the challenges and opportunities he faces in one of the region's most dangerous provinces. We have a member of parliament, Ms. Shahgul Rezai, who will speak about the development of democratic institutions in Afghanistan and the role of women in their society. And lastly, Minister Pashtun, who is the senior advisor to President Karzai on urban development and national construction. Well, you've heard enough of my voice, so let's bring some Afghan voices to the table. Please, I'd like to introduce the Ghazni governor, Musa Khan. Thank you.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Paul Clark, member of Commonwealth Club. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. My subject is the challenges. So before to discuss about challenges, let me introduce Afghanistan to you. Afghanistan is having very, very long and old history, 5,000 years old history. It has seen so many up and down in this history, and the nation is still alive, and they are confronting all difficulties. As you know, I think the age of all of you is such that we have been in fighting with the Russian 30 years before. And it was a big war, and our good ally was the United States of America. And Afghans were able to defeat the Russian, not only the Russian, but defeat the communism. Not only defeat the communism, but give the liberation to so many countries which were under the rule of Russia. Let me tell you that Afghanistan is not an easy place. I will tell you two famous poets, what they have told, what the poems they have told. The name of one is Iqbal from Lahore, Pakistan, and the name of other is Saadi. We call it Saadi Shirazi. Iqbal say that Asia is made from land and water. This is the Asian continent, tell us, just like a body. in Afghanistan, in this body is just like hurt in the body. If the hurt is okay, the body is okay. If the hurt is sick, the body is sick. And he has correctly brought out this poem long back. And Saadi says that this human being, this whole continental, or this all human being, they are one body, and they are from one father. A portion of the body is paining, the whole body is paining. If you go for the treatment of this portion, the body will sleep. If you don't go for the treatment of this portion of your body, the whole body will not be able to sleep. If your teeth is paining, it is a really small portion of your body. If you divide it, it will be 1/100,000 portion of your body. But because of the small teeth, if that is paining, the whole body will be paining and you will not be able to sleep. That is how, with the globalization, the world has become one. It is just like one body. When Afghanistan was paining, that is how the European Union, Americans, and everybody in the world is paining. And that is the reason that we have 49 coalition forces or coalition countries over there who have come for our treatment. But don't forget that we have another 49 countries in Afghanistan who have come against the coalition forces over there. This war was not so difficult. Now it has been complicated. I'm in a military officer. From one side, those countries who are having their own enmities among themselves, they are fighting in Afghanistan. Iran and Saudi Arabia, they don't have good relation. They are fighting their own fight in Afghanistan. Pakistan and India, they are not having good relation. They are fighting their own fight in Afghanistan. This is the reason that the fighting has been complicated. It has taken till now 10 years. And I gave always the proposal to your elders and to you, members of this club, that we have a very famous proverb in our language, that the blood cannot be washed with blood. The blood can be washed only with water. The fighting cannot be over with the fighting. The fighting can be only ended with the negotiation. And that is how now the government, Afghan government, their proposal is for negotiation, reintegration, and now the Americans and other coalition forces, they are supporting Afghanistan for this purpose. So I also propose over here that whenever you face some problem, you have to come for the solution of that problem to choose not only one way. We have to choose 3-4 options. So one option should be negotiation, the part of reintegration and coming, bringing those people close to Afghanistan. Till now, we have more than 3 million refugees in Pakistan and Iran. Those refugees, they have been used against Afghanistan, and they are taking the color of those neighbor countries. 4 or 5 months before I was in Poland, Poland has just got the liberation from the Russian, and I saw over there, I experienced over there, that the whole European countries, they want the Poland to stand on their own feet. They should walk themselves. I saw the roads were supported by the European Union. They were giving the money. I saw a very big stadium for football will be played over there. The money was given by the European Union. But we Afghan don't have such good neighbors. Our neighbors, their thinking is that Afghans should not walk, they should not stand, even they should not sit. This is the how we are getting the punishment from all around of our neighbors. And this is the reason that war has become complicated. From one side, it is conventional war. From other side, it is guerrilla warfare. The conventional warrior cannot fight the guerrilla warfare. So this is the reason that we should not think that we have been defeated. But such war is a very difficult. Winning of such war, it takes a lot of a time. That is how my proposal is that we should 80% try through political way, and another 20% we have to try through military way. Let me talk about, we have very little time, about Ghazni. I am the governor of Ghazni, and Ghazni has been announced as the capital of Islamic culture in 2007. And Islamic culture means, and Ghazni means, this is one of the most famous province of Afghanistan. It is located in the middle of Afghanistan. It is strategically very, very important place for enemies and for Afghan both. 1,050 years before, we had Ghazni as the culture center for the education. It was the center for education. People used to come from the certain Asian countries, from Indian continental, from Iran, and from even Turkey and from Iraq. They used to learn the culture, they used to learn the religion, they used to learn the science, they used to learn so many things, and this was the main source of export of the knowledge and culture from that area to another countries. For this reason, we were lucky to have Hayward as a sister city for Ghazni 2013, and they have been very cooperative with us. That is how the delegation is over here. We were for 3 days in Washington, and we'll be here for another 7 days. We are having some challenges for this program 2013. The challenges are two. One is insecurity, and the other is the fundraising. As far as the insecurity is concerned, we are stable than before. Ghazni is much stable than before. And we are giving this proposal to the opposition, to the enemy, to the Taliban, that hence this is the capital of Islamic culture. You should come for the negotiation to this center. If you are fighting for Islam, so this is the center of Islamic culture. This is the center of Islam. And this is recognized by the whole world. And we are trying to bring back Ghazni to such a center as it was 1,050 years before. We want to make this center for education. We want to make this center for science. We want to make this center for human rights, for women rights. This should be an example all over Afghanistan and all over Islamic countries. This is the purpose that Ghazni has been accepted as the center, as the capital of Islamic culture. For this center to be ready, we have two programs. One is through reconstruction, to reconstruct those important and historical places, which we have taken the list of that, and they may be 36 or 40, and we have to do some other work to make the electricity over there, to make the roads, and water system, and so many other things. These are the projects which we have taken underway. But as far as the Islamic Center of Islamic Culture is concerned, we have introduced some lessons over there. We are working on that field that Ghazni should be, the people should be example for the Islamic world. That is how every week the program is there, that we are printing more than 10,000 pamphlets or books, and these are all about three subjects. We say in Islam, do this. This is some subject number one. Do not do this. This is another subject. And the third subject is the behavior. So we have taken this program over there, and hopefully we are trying our best to be ready for 2013, that Ghazni again regain the old history, which was at that time, and people used to get the education, and the number of students at that time, it was much more than as it is today, though 1,050 years have passed. Hence, the time is very less. Once again, thanks for inviting us over here. Thank you too much.
Thank you, Governor. We appreciate your remarks. And now we have a member of Parliament, Ms. Shah Gul Rezai.
Hello and good evening for everyone. Development of democratic institution and the role of women in Afghan society. Passing through the season of war and violation, people of Afghanistan is now putting steps in their new face of their political life. Now our people is witnessing the growing and appearance of democratic institution in order to prevent tyranny and guarantee more freedoms. In this chapter, the Afghanistan constitution has accepted the system of segregation of as one of important pillar of democracy and take action accordingly. Under the light of constitution, the people of Afghanistan have access to important values of democratic that we can point out it is outstanding impacts on the enjoying of men and women from their right of voting and participation in political decision makings. For the time being, the Parliament of Afghanistan has changed to semblance of people's intention and symbol of peaceful and political symphonies. Our people is now at beginning of this way, and this includes many challenges and hardships. Nevertheless, all these efforts in preservation and support of democracy values is now intensively under work. Today, with full participation of civil institutions, media, political parties, human rights institutions, and women rights, the voice of each Afghan is heard even from longer distances. Now the parliament is the strong witness of Afghanistan government's accomplishment and performance it is monitoring and questioning rule. Although the commencing of new term of the parliament have experienced many challenges, and there have been more efforts to put the parliament in the margin, notwithstanding all these challenges, the parliament still play a vital role in reflecting the voice of people and their problems to the related centers. The media have recently had a remarkable growing. The free media's functions as open eyes of the people and as observers, the hiding activities of the government. The free media, as one of the pillar of democracy, have been able to call responsible people to interpellation and criticize the deficiencies of the system. One of the achieved values during the last 10 years is the appearance of human rights institutions. These institutions have had remarkable achievement in paving the ground of monitoring the human rights situation, training and awareness from human rights values. Afghanistan government is now needier in concentration, fair authority delegation, and active role of democratic and monitoring institution. At this time, the Afghan women, by utilizing the available opportunities, play available role in development democratic institution. Effective presence of women in National Assembly, Provincial Council, Villages Council, medias, political parties, and civil institution is golden leaf of history of Afghan women. Presence of remarkable number of women in electoral efforts and battles, and having active presence in the parliament have proved the reality of their battle in promotion of women rights. But still we have many challenges. The democratic institutions are still facing number of challenges and hardships in continuation of their duties. Lack of security is one of the major challenges and barriers on the way of growth of democratic institution. Family violence and cases of violence against women still give victims in some parts of Afghanistan, and women still witness of cutting their same genders, nose and ears, as well as severe punishment by Taliban in some parts of Afghanistan. Weakness of rule of law in Afghanistan has always been a challenge in the way of women. Based on belief of most women of Afghanistan, there is no guarantee and precondition in the discussion with Taliban to keep the women rights, justice, values of constitution and lost their achievements safe. The same we need peace, same we give importance to justice, women rights, preservation of lost their achievements and preservation of accepted values in constitution. We expect that the current process with loyal help and support of international society and continuous support of United States of America and democratic institution get more powerful day by day and get institutionalized as a new political culture. The people of Afghanistan who have historic patience will wait their patience fruit get ripe and achieve their high goals. As the time passing with presence of new and educated generation, we expect the situation get better and better. The uproots of people of higher education and learning the helpful professions get more hopeful to a bright future. I re-emphasize that preservation of these achievements have a direct link with sustainable peace, good governance, and support of international society. Thank you for your good attention.
Thank you very much, Ms. Reza. And now we have the Minister Pashtun, who is the Senior Advisor to President Karzai on Urban Development and National Construction. Sir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salam ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, it's a good opportunity for our team here to present what we call the problem of Afghanistan, particularly the people, citizens of the United States, the government of the United States, with something like 40 more countries led by the United States, are trying to help Afghanistan for the past 10 years. You have every right to know what the problem is. Well, what does Afghanistan need actually as a help? Definitely we need help. But what kind of a help? The basic needs of the Afghans, if not exactly the same, are very much similar to the needs of the American citizens. What are these needs? Three top priorities we have. Peace and security, which I'm sure all the citizens of this global government need it. Sustainable employment, clean and effective governance. The sustainability of employment is extremely important in Afghanistan first because we are supposed to be fighting international terror. And the international terror is using the Afghan poverty against the people and the government of Afghanistan because they are being deployed so easy. 95% or more of those who are involved in supporting Al-Qaeda and Taliban are those who are doing it just because of pure poverty. They are not with them ideologically. If we could provide them sustainable kind of a employment, I'm sure we could fight this team most effectively. So what's peace and security? Peace and security is the need of every human being. However, there are special reasons why the Afghans need peace and security more than other citizens of the world. Number one, after 30 years of war and conflict, one of the longest in recent history, Afghans have the right to be very thirsty for peace and security. 30 years is six times the World War II. Number two, Peace and security in Afghanistan will guarantee the peace and security in the U.S. and most of today's world affected by Al-Qaeda and terror. So that is the second most important item and reason why we should have peace and security in Afghanistan. Basic requirements for peace and security. What are the thinking in general and what is the realities on this issue? Most of us think that a strong military force could fight terror effectively. There is no need to explain that. The need of military power is there. But it's not the only thing and the only way to fight terror. And maybe alone, just military operation will not be able to be successful in the terror. We have a very good example, like Northern Ireland. And of course, it's much worse, the situation in Afghanistan. We have, fortunately, the continued support of more than 100,000 NATO troops and increasing capacity of Afghan security forces. But still, we are far away from the actual peace and security. However, it was already proved that despite the high human cost and financial cost, only military operation was not sufficient for lasting peace and security in Afghanistan. So what is the logical conclusion? Basic requirements for bringing peace and security is not only the military strength. This already has been proven. Then what is to be done? This is a challenge for all of us. After study, of course, together, we suggest Afghanistan that eradication of Afghan poverty is number one issue. Poverty in Afghanistan is deployed by the insurgency against the Afghan and international forces. For bringing sustainable peace and security to Afghanistan, besides some military strength, which is, of course, essential, we need to fight and eradicate poverty in Afghanistan. This means creating sustainable jobs to bring up to 40% Afghan population currently living below poverty line. What does it mean in terms of costs? First of all, the Afghan demography, like many other developing countries, particularly Muslim countries, it's a very young demography. A very high percentage of population is very young. That means our productive population is comparatively less. 40% of Afghan population are less around, which is about 10 million persons, and that makes 1.6 million families are currently living below poverty line. By poverty line means $1.50 a day per person, $10 a day per family of 6.5 persons, which is the average of Afghan family. We need to provide these families with sustainable jobs to give each family a minimum of $10 per day. This requires an economy to generate $4.5 billion annual salary for these people. This is the general attitude. How to achieve this economy? Is it possible in Afghanistan? For having such a sustainable economy, and of course, the magic word is sustainability. It's not for a day or a year. It should be sustainable. It should be self-sustainable. We need to activate more employment-oriented development program in all sectors of Afghan economy, in particular in the rural areas, because around 70% of Afghan population is living in the rural area. How to answer these problems? Big-scale technical vocational training programs in agriculture, construction, mining, and mid-level managerial and governance sectors is very essential. So, to eradicate the Afghan poverty, we immediately need to train people so that they can earn money. They could be at the level so that they could be technically enough to attend to these jobs. And, of course, the potential is there. Particularly the mining capacity of Afghanistan is tremendously big. All we need is a technical team to go and work there. Special attention to gender training in all the above sectors, which mentioned, in particular in self-help economic generating programs, is also very essential for two reasons. Number one, gender or the female in Afghanistan are usually left out, socially speaking. If they are given the opportunity to have their own earning, they will have their own economic and, of course, social status. And more important is that, as I told you, our population is a young population. That means if the woman also works in their possibility, that means the family will have two earners. Big-scale literacy program for all the genders is also a very essential issue. How to manage such an extensive program then? The presence of clean and effective governance for managing such a sustainable economy and their activities is extremely important. One of the big issues that we have today is governance issue. Clean, sustainable, and of course, clean of corruption. And effective enough governance. It is most essential to be established in Afghanistan. Creating more human capacity to all levels and sectors of central and provincial governance. Imagine if the citizens of San Francisco today tells us that we will be establishing a 20,000 employee capacity of General Motor Company in Afghanistan. I will not take it with me because we don't have the capacity to employ even 10 persons there. So that, I think, explains everything. Enforcing strong anti-corruption policies and law mercilessly under a trustworthy judicial system. That's a very important issue. Once you have a sufficient capacity, then, of course, the justice is the need of the day. Therefore, the three major issues that we are looking for are three major items for sustainable security, for peace and security. Number one, good governance, which I explained before, clean of corruption, and effective enough. Sustainable employment, and when I say employment, I mean $10 per family per day. Number three, sufficient security force, definitely, as has got to be there to support, not to achieve the peace, actually to support the peace. I have two photos here, unfortunately, if it was thing. It's not that we are having nothing today. We are having a small class and a bazaar and a shopkeeper. The shopkeeper is having a class for the children. It happens today. We want to change this to a regular school. It means something is happening there, but it's not happening the right way. And with the right scale. So, our peace and security has got to be a stool standing on three legs. Good governance, economic development, security forces. Of course, Afghan security forces. Why? We don't want to be burdened on the shoulder of the citizens and the government of the United States and other friends for all the time. We want to stop this. We want to sustain it ourselves. So, in short, the Afghan message to the people of the United States is, thank you for all the generous help, but Afghans do not want to be burdened on the shoulders of the people of the United States indefinitely. So what we want, number one, we have enough resources. We need to learn how to make best use of it. Number two, help us to help ourselves. Number three, in fact, number three is the conclusion. Do not supply us with fish every day. Teach us how to fish. This is the main message. With that message, I would like also to thank you all and also give this message to all of you, the representative of all the citizens of the United States, in the hope for a peaceful and prosperous Afghanistan, to make the long-standing friendship between Afghanistan and the U.S. eternal and self-sustainable. By self-sustainable, I mean this should be not sustainable by billions of dollars. They should be self-sustainable by itself, standing on its feet, and that friendship will be eternal. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister Pashtun. I'd like to remind our listening audience that this is a program of the Commonwealth Club of California, and you are listening to Afghanistan's Challenge, a view from Ghazni Province. And I've got quite a few questions up here. And so I'd like to do one sort of overall general question about Ghazni, and open to all of you. It was chosen as an Islamic cultural center. Maybe you could explain to us a little bit about what is the history and the culture of Ghazni, why was it chosen, and what does it really mean? So that's your first question.
With the permission of my panel. Well, Ghazni, definitely it was explained by His Excellency the Governor, one of the oldest city in the region. Ghazni civilization was at highest peak around the 10th century. That's about 1,000 years back, or more. At that time, it was the center of science, technology of the time, and some of the greatest scientists have been actually living at that time. And most important is Abu Rayhan al-Biruni. Al-Biruni is the first anthropologist in the history of anthropology. He was the one who went and studied almost city to village, the whole of India, and he introduced India to the Arab countries, that's west of Afghanistan, and to the Western world. He was the one who worked particularly on the geography, and he went to the level that in certain issues that he was trying almost to reach the theory of Galilee, that the world is actually round, not flat. So this kind of a development happened in Ghazni. Of course, that's only an example. So in order to acknowledge that, the Muslim world, the Muslim cultural centers, with the help of UNESCO, they call it ICISCO. They decided that Ghazni should be celebrating in October 2013 as the Islamic Cultural Center. Since the end of 2007, when it was announced, the government of Afghanistan had to attend to this issue by planning for it. The whole area of the city planning started. It is a small town. Exact population is around 100,000 to 120,000 today. This town, of course, needed three major thing to intervention. First, the basic infrastructure to really make it available for such a big event. Number two, rehabilitation of something like 50 to 100 historical monuments. And number three part was that preparation, a special area for the celebration, what we call it the Expo Center. And of course, there is a lot of international interest already, although not sufficient. But still, our problem is not the shortage of funds. Usually, in such situations, the shorts of capacity, and particularly, well, when the government and all the people are still fighting the security, I mean, to establish security. Although, we are very thankful to Governor Musa Khan for the past 1.5, 2 years. He really brought sufficient stability to that area. And at this moment, within the city of Ghazni area, or even surrounding area, we have no security problem in terms of operation. But of course, it has got to be expanded, the whole area, so to make it really a center of international activities by October 2013. Thank you very much.
Very good. Might I also ask, we have a few questions about America, if it's our perspective, of course. So some questions about how America is perceived in Ghazni province, and what have you perceived about America in your travels so far today?
Well, the perception of the Americans has got to be also from the Americans. My understanding definitely is that it's not the first time that we see Americans in Afghanistan. Our contact with American in general citizens starts as early as early 1940s or mid-1940s. And after that, we had some successful projects. In 50s, some of the two major irrigation and agriculture programs in the south of Afghanistan was established by the Americans. There's Arghandab and Kajika dams, which is still continuing, and really one of the most successful ones at the time. So that goes for a long time. But of course, our impression of the United States is two things. That's exactly my impression. I'm sure my colleagues are all sharing it to a greater degree. Number one, to us, United States is the center of democracy and also a place that we can learn how to practice democracy. Bringing democracy is easy. To practice democracy is a long way. So democracy is not a pair of clothes, just you wear it and that's all. You have to live with it. You have to respect it. You have to bring it to every corner of your country and to every citizen. Then you can be sure that this is a democracy and this is actually being practiced. But it will take some time, particularly in a country like Afghanistan with something like more than 50 or 60% of illiteracy. So sufficient amount of literacy is needed, understanding is needed. So that part still we are pushing with the help of the Americans, people and American citizen and government. And of course, parallel with this issue of the democracy, today America is our number one partner in bringing peace not to Afghanistan but to the region. And I think, I don't know what your understanding is on the issue of the security or insecurity in the area. Afghanistan is involved, there is no doubt. Lots of fighting is happening in terms of terror, but it's not the center of terror. I don't want to say where it comes from, but definitely it's not the center of terror. The terror is actually being exported to Afghanistan. So this is where that we need the help of the government and the people of the United States to really work together. Again, I told you that we do not want to be a burden on the shoulder of the citizen of the United States, and especially for a long time. We want to be self-sustainable. We want to continue the path to democracy, the path to security, the path to a developed Afghanistan. And, of course, with the help of our people, but not to be a burden. Thank you. This is our understanding of the United States and the people of the United States.
Thank you. Again, another question for any of the three panelists who would like to speak, and that is the U.S., NATO, the U.N., and others have been operating in security engagement as well as development engagement for 10 years. How has that tracked in Ghazni province? How's the experience been, and how far along in the development process do you think you are?
Do you want to answer this?
Go, Lisa. Thank you too much. Actually, I'm in Ghazni for the last 1 year. We have two PRT over there with us for security and for the development works. The main PRT forces, which are more in number, they are from Poland, and we have team from US also over there, where they are not more than 50 people. But the cooperation of these 50 members from the US, their cooperation in construction field, it is much more than what the Poland PRT are doing over there. I have been talking always with the forces of Poland not to have the civilian casualties, because my actual force and the actual force of Afghanistan is the nation, not the military, not the police, and not the security forces. Our main force and our main supporter, they are the nation. If the nation is hurt, if they have civilian casualties, if there is attack at night and they have civilian are killed, so this is how the nation is keep going away from us. This what I have chosen in Ghazni. I have been talking always to them, going to the PRT of Poland, talking to their general. Ghazni is the only place that we have no casualty, civilian casualty, or we have minimum. Only once or twice in last 1 year it has happened that they have gone on wrong target, and this is one of the reason that the security parameter have been better than what it was before. Because if there are civilian casualties, if there are night attacks, if they go on wrong target, these the people are getting away from us. I am happy from the coalition forces over there. Till now, they have not gone on wrong target, and this is the reason that I don't have any complaint from the civilians. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor. Since we have you close to the microphone, we do have a question just for you about the state of development in the province, and specifically want to ask about the education levels, about the employment, and is there the skill training and the capital, the money, to finance private business? Can you develop the country with the assets you currently have?
Yes, of course. Though the time was very less, I was given only 10 minutes time. Actually, we have announced that we have three enemies in Afghanistan. The enemy number one is illiteracy, the enemy number two is unemployment, and the enemy number three is the insurgent. If you want to divide our enemy by three, we have to look for education and for the employment. Then the enemy can be divided by three, by two, or by three. I have been seeing as a governor over there, whenever we arrest or we capture the insurgent, if you ask them, either he is very poor man because of the employee he has gone over there, or he is totally illiterate, he doesn't know about the religion, about the country. So this is the reason. We are trying to remove these two first. We are trying to create job for the people, to be employed, not to go to the insurgent rank, to be educated, to understand their country, their nation, and their future. So these are the two things which I am emphasizing. For vocational training, of course, we need a lot. We don't have any vocational school, only one. And our all people yesterday, as the Minister Pashtun was correctly telling that more than 60% of our people who are passing from the 12th grade, they have to go to the universities, but we don't have so many universities that all our people to get the chance for higher study. So this is the reason that we need a lot of vocational training school to be developed over there to find the job for the people, for the future, especially for mining, because Afghanistan, wealth is mines. We have a lot of mines. If our people are educated, if you go for that, as we Pashtun Saab told that, we do not want to be the burden on the shoulder of others. If you go to that field, if we really work over there, we will be able to support the other people. So this is how we need the... We have school, normal schools, it is over there in Ghazni. And Ghazni is one of those provinces that the people love the education. Even at winter, in very cold season, where the degree minus 20 degrees centigrade, we were having more than 800 people. When they were on vacation, they were studying over there. The education level is good, but we don't have that much reach to the vocational training school, which is, of course, most needed of the Ghazni people.
Thank you very much.
Excuse me, if sure. I may add a few words more, sure. With your permission. The issue of vocational training is extremely important. Today, Afghanistan, after something like 7-8 years of school opening, after a long time, you know, for a long time there was no schooling. After 2002, the school opened for children. The graduates... I mean, there are something like 7 million children today going to the schools. Now, the graduates are crossing 120,000 high school graduates, 120,000. While the universities, 17 or even 18 universities that we have so far, they can absorb maximum 40,000 to 50,000 students only. 70,000 high school graduates are still left without university education, which is usually their dream. And, of course, they cannot be employed because they don't have any technical skills. This is where this gap should be filled with the technical training, technical vocational training with the big scale. Every town, every village even needs such a school to be there in operation. Because once these people are actually having some training, then the employment capacity is there in the market. They could be employed. That's one thing. And, of course, the number is increasing every year. We expect... By the year 2016 or 17, the high school will be graduating 1 million students. We have to be prepared for that. Otherwise, they by itself will bring a revolution. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a quick follow-up, and you spoke briefly, Minister, about the opium trade. How does this stand as an obstacle to this development and what's being done?
Well, I think this is also one of the important questions that it's not only on the mind of the international community, but on the mind of the Afghans. My understanding is that, of course, I was so much involved indirectly. I was governor of one of the provinces in 2003 and 4, which is, if not totally, at least 50% of area was covered by this in Kandahar. The actual problem on this is that it's not that the Afghan farmers are getting more out of the drug. The reason, one of the major reasons is that the agricultural product of Afghanistan had a very good market 30, 40 years back. But through all these troubles, we have lost that market. Now, Afghanistan, particularly these provinces, which are known for high level of drug production, they were, and they are still, the center of best fruit growing areas. But these fruit, like pomegranates, grapes, some of the best grapes maybe in the region in that they can produce, they don't have the right market right now in their hand. Now, that farmer, he's not sure if he takes this grape or his pomegranate, which is a very expensive fruit, to be sold on the, in the market. So what he does, he goes to the drug because the drug money is delivered at his doorstep by the smugglers. So at least whatever is produced in the international market, 90% of the money is skipped. 10% comes to Afghanistan. After the 10%, maybe 5% goes to the farmer, 5% with the drug smugglers. Now, putting it this way, the Afghan farmers has no interest, no economic interest in the drug. If we could provide them with sufficient capacity and technical facilities to have them the right market, which is not a big market needed, but of course quality is needed, the quality of market like packing, et cetera, what we call it added values, then this is at least 70% of the problem could be resolved.
I'm going to read this one. It's fairly compelling. My brother's serving with the army in Netaralam province. After 8 months, he's convinced that it's virtually impossible for the U.S. to change the country due to corruption. Is he right? If not, how much longer shall we support our troops at a cost of $1 million per soldier per year?
I agree with this gentleman. I agree. I think I mentioned my point before. Corruption is there in Afghan government circle and even outside. And we have to have a joint efforts to eradicate it. To eradicate corruption, it's not very difficult in a country like Afghanistan, but of course it needs proper programming and, of course, very joint efforts by Afghan government, of course, joint and sincere, by Afghan government and its allies together. And there are certain programs which are happening, but of course it will take time. But I fully agree with the gentleman that with the corruption, as I told you before, without a clean governance, we cannot solve all these problems.
In the same vein about U.S. military policy, what do you think about the talk now about potentially, particularly after the capture and killing of Osama bin Laden, of a more hasty, a more rapid withdrawal of U.S. forces under a more rapid timetable? How is that perceived in Afghanistan? How is it perceived in Ghazni province about maybe the U.S. and supposedly some of its allies withdrawing more quickly? What's the implication?
The fact is that, as far as my understanding goes, the U.S., the governments, and of course the NATO in general, I don't think they will withdraw totally before sufficient level of security is established. This is because they came there not for occupation. They came there to fight the terror because their terror was not limited to Afghanistan. It could be easily, again, exported as far as New York. That's what happened in 9/11. So I think that issue is there. Now, how to do it and how it could happen, I believe what the suggestion is coming that on one side, we believe that more than 90% at least of those Afghans involved as Taliban, they are not there for ideological purposes. They are being employed with a little bit higher salary. So if we could give them alternative employment, even a smaller level, a lower level, they will be definitely leaving that. The lines. If we could distract something like 90% of support of the Taliban inside Afghanistan and outside Afghanistan, definitely it's much easier to fight them in that sense. That's number one issue. Number two point is that provided that we continue with this thing, is that then what about the rest of the 10%? We don't want still to be used against us or against Pakistan or against any country, any peaceful country in the region or internationally. So then the best way is that actually to go and try to negotiate them. Once we have reduced their strength, they will be more ready to negotiate. So I think this is the kind of approach which the U.S. government, NATO, United Nations, and of course Afghanistan have already agreed and are trying to push it. It might take some time. I am personally optimistic on this line, provided that each step is taken carefully and with more realistic approach. Thank you.
Thank you. And maybe each of you could address this one issue. It's rather personal. We read a lot in the U.S. and in our papers about who's targeted by terrorists in Afghanistan, and quite often they're government officials. So is your position something that you worry about for your personal safety? And is it going on a public tour like this add to that concern?
Well, definitely in a country in Afghanistan or even in the region, you go to Pakistan, you go even to parts of India or Middle East, there is a problem of security, there is no doubt. Somewhere very high, somewhere low. But the commitment of the Afghans, it's not only me, practically all the Afghans, is that we want to rebuild our country. We owe our young generation. We have to give them, hand over to them a clean administration and a sustainable economy and, most important, a peaceful Afghanistan. So this then will enable the younger generation really to go. Now, keeping this in mind, we are not worried about the security, but the security threat is there because we have no alternative. We have to fight it. It's like if the threat is there, then I have to withdraw. No, I have to continue. As one person actually told me that, how optimistic you are. I said, I'm very optimistic. He said, what's the proof? I said, the proof is that I'm still not running away from Afghanistan.
Would anyone else like to comment on that?
Actually, though the time is also over, there are three punishments for each deed, or three rewards. One is natural reward, another is reward of law, another is reward by God. The punishment is also same. If you do good deed, you have three rewards. One is natural reward, another is reward by law, and the third is reward by God. Punishment are three, rewards are three. But the human being is only scared from the law, not from natural and not from the God. Till the time the United States does not bring pressure on the neighbors and the Afghan doesn't come to our own country, if the border is open like it is, if our people are as it is over there, this threat will continue. Because we have another very good proverb in our language. If you sit with me, you will become like me. If you sit with black thing, you will become black. The people are sitting with the black. So till the time this problem is not solved, the insecurity will be continuous. Because as I told you before, that the other countries, they are fighting their own fight in Afghanistan. This is cheap. This is with low cost. This is very easy. Blood of Afghan will be used over there. Property of Afghan will be used over there. So this is the reason that the insecurity, till the time our problem is not solved and we do not compel our people to come back to our country, and till the time the United States doesn't bring the pressure on the neighbors, so this insecurity will continue. The main way for this is to pressurize where now the insurgency is exported from there, funded over there, trained over there. Now it is known just like you see sun in the sky. So they should go on the right target, correct the situation over there, then Afghan situation, development will automatically come, security will automatically come. So this is the main way. Because the treatment place is not Afghanistan. There is no insurgency in Afghanistan. It is exported, it is funded, it is trained outside, and that is known now to Americans very well, so they have to pressurize those areas, then they will feel the security over here. As I told you in the beginning, that this with the globalization, when we are insecure, so New York will be insecure. If we are secure, the whole world will be secure. So this is the thing, that the place is known, the training area is known, where they are funded it is known, where they are trained it is known, where they are paid it is known. So we request that if you go, if Americans go over there, go for the treatment in that area, so the security will automatically come.
Thank you. And we have one last question. And this is a good question because this talk is sponsored by, in part, by local groups in the Bay Area, which are reaching across the waters and the mountains to Afghanistan to strengthen relations. And so this question sort of goes to that idea of friendship. And the question is, what can we do as civilians in the U.S. to support civilians in Afghanistan who are working towards peace and development and human rights in Ghazni? So what can we here do to help you?
I would more depend on the answer from the people and responsible people from Ghazni, like. But I will definitely express my view. At this moment, Ghazni, as far as the human rights are concerned, their need is more to support the gender, number one. So whatever you can help gender, particularly literacy for the gender, and of course, bringing him to the level of some kind of economic development. By economic development, my suggestion was that self-employment for them, because our traditional system is that they don't come to the factories, even if there is a factory. But most of their work is self-employment, like embroideries, et cetera, some local thing, which was having quite sufficient income for them if they are trained properly. So the gender has got to be really helped, both in literacy and some kind of a employment. That will be a very important issue. Plus with this, of course, the general training from the literacy level to the technical vocational training, what we call TVT. That means in different areas, such as construction, such as mid-level or low-level technician, even plumbers, training plumbers, quite a big issue and quite a big source of employment could be for these people. So if these two areas are covered, plus with it, of course, we do need a coordination of this whole thing. Will really help because there are many projects still waiting in certain areas and provinces because they don't have sufficient capacity. One of my responsibility with the government, which was specially given by the president, that 12 of the least developed provinces in Afghanistan, I'm trying to create capacity there because no matter how much money you send there, they cannot use that properly. So that means you, in a way, indirectly, will be wasting that money. Unless we have a capacity development, for this we have a big program. For 12 least and smallest provinces, some work is going. So definitely Ghazni, with a big population. By the way, I think the governor mentioned before, Ghazni is one of the most populated province in Afghanistan. 1.5 million population is there. And they really need a lot of more employment opportunity to be created for them to really stabilize that population. That will be the biggest help.
Well, great. Thank you very much. That brings us to the end of our program. Our thanks to the delegation of speakers from Afghanistan for their interesting comments. Our appreciation to our sponsors, the Hayward Ghazni Sister City Committee, the Asia Foundation, the U.S. State Department, the Truman National Security Project Educational Institute, and the Afghan Friends Network. We also thank our audience, and this meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California is now adjourned.
Yes, and then-